Thanks. Okay, so I'm hoping that everybody's up for a bit of stirring up this morning, as I'm going to talk about challenging our faith. And I'd like to ask you, when was your faith last challenged and as a result tested and grown? Okay, I can hear you groaning. As we all know, the experience of testing and growth involves, at the very least, discomfort. And when I started going to China in 1995, I was working at the RD&E and knew almost everybody. I'd worked there for over 30 years. That ages me, doesn't it? Through the 90s and early noughties, my job involved working throughout the hospital and in the community. So I knew loads of people, and they became used to the fact that I went to China every year for 3 weeks working in orphanages. When I got back, people would ask, how was your holiday? And then, did you work in an orphanage again? When I said yes, they often get the response, oh, I couldn't do what you do. I'd cry all the time, or something like that. Well, of course they couldn't do what I did, as God hadn't given them my faith or that calling in their lives. So I think all of us would say that our gifts and abilities are given to us and developed by God to be used for his glory. None of us who are his children can honestly say we're not equipped if we have faith in God. So how does God equip us? In life, he doesn't just hand us a sack of money. Just like in the talent story, he doesn't hand us a bag and say, all right, go out and do something. So what do the talents represent? What does God do to give us those gifts? So we have our natural born gifts, our personality. Are you a brown sort of rough teapot, or maybe a slightly more expensive one? God gives us our personality. We're all a different shape, a different size. We're born with those inherited traits, but more than that, we're born with potential. So as we live and grow, we're watered and nurtured and shaped by our environment. So like these tea bushes growing on the hillside, depending on the soil, sun and rain, to develop those unique flavours, varying according to the conditions of that particular year. So it's exciting. We're organically growing throughout our lives and our characters being developed and shaped. We've got all of our learned skills and experiences, like all these different teas. Some are blended, some are straightforward. So all our different experiences, our teaching, our education, creating different colours and flavours and textures to be blended into a unique you. God does give us gifts of faith. You know, when we become Christians, we take that step of faith into believing in God, to having that faith. And some of those talents that he's given us, we may have very little faith, maybe one talent, maybe five talents. But what the parable is telling us is that whether you've been handed a bone china cup or a cup and saucer or a plastic mug, you can still use it and be useful. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit gets going and turns up the heat in our lives. So when the boiling water's poured onto the beautiful, fragrant, but dry tea leaves, wow, look at that, a fragrant cup of tea to bless and refresh. I'm sorry for those of you who are coffee drinkers, but just go with the analogy for now. So the Holy Spirit is pouring out that heat, but he's transforming those dry leaves and releasing the potential in us. But God doesn't leave it there. We go on to develop and learn to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So on top of having the Holy Spirit himself, the result then is the gifts that he gives us. So wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, leadership, teaching, and so on. So like that very complicated Chinese tea set there, all the little facets that God is offering to us to make up this wonderful, unique cup of tea to bless the world. Okay, I find this very challenging, a powerful statement in James 2, verse 17, in the Passion Translation. He says, faith that doesn't involve action is phony. So we can say we believe, but if we're not doing something with that faith, it's not worth anything. What do we do with our faith, gifts, and talents? Well, he says, action is a result of having faith. And in turn, when we get into action, our faith is increased. We get more. So just like the talents, when we use them, we get more. Test it out. I challenge you, for those of you who have not felt able to take that first step, test it out. We're encouraged in Matthew 6, 33. This is from the Message. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. So don't worry about not quite getting there. You'll find your everyday human concerns are met. So what they're talking about is, as we focus on God and believe in his promises and his provision, we're totally inadequate without that belief, and he will come through for us. So just deviating slightly now, I want to ask you, there's been a lot of talk in this last year about heroes in the NHS and so on. And there've been some great superhero movies around for quite a while now, these comic book heroes in particular. And I just wonder whether you'd like to write in the chat something about who are your favorite superheroes. Come on, kids, let's hear from you as well.
So they're starting to come in. We've got the Hulk, which we've got loads, Wonder Woman, the Hulk, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Superman, Utopia. I don't know Utopia.
Oh.
Daniel says Spider-Man as well. We've got a Batman. Richmond is Cheryl's superhero because his superpower is washing up. Wonderful. Super washer up. You can use those powers here, Richmond, anytime. McCutcheons have got Spider-Man and Captain America.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, coming from the Cummings family, Wanda. Yes, Wanda from the Marvel superhero Wanda. She's very cool. What else have we got? Weber family, Batman isn't super. He's just rich and clever. Oh, okay. All right. He's quite strong as well. And he can throw a few fists. what else have we got? I think I mentioned the Hulk.
Yeah,
I think that's it. That's all of them that have come through so far, Lynn.
Thanks, Rich. That's brilliant. Yeah. So you'll be pleased to know those of you who voted for one of these three, they came out, they voted the top three out of an international poll of superheroes. So we've got Superman, Batman and Spider-Man. Must go back and watch those films again. But though these people are inspirational, they're not real people doing real things. And heroes are admired for their deeds and their qualities, often including courage, determination, bravery, moral integrity, you know, so things that they've done and the qualities of their that they have within themselves. So just another opportunity for you all now, just to pause for a moment and think about a real life person, maybe a biblical person or not, live or dead, who inspires you and why does this person inspire you? You may not have much time today to think about that, but it may be, what is the quality or what has this person done which really resonates within you? What's that achievement? So again, just maybe a few of you to write something in the chat there for Rich to read out.
Mike and Lynn Wilmot are sharing Bear Grylls.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Long, General Booth, from the Cummings family, Cheryl. And I presume not because of her washing up skills, though they may also be good. Andy and Audrey have said Heidi Baker and Pete Gregg. McCutcheon family say their parents. Peter is saying Brian May.
Oh, yeah.
Ian Robertson says Joe Biden after 50 years of public service. Cheryl and Richmond, Billy Bray. Got somebody else on their iPhone, Adrian Plass. Oh, Katie yeah. Marshall says Jesse Duplantis. I can see Jesus in him.
Wow.
We've got Chris Hall has put Jackie Pullinger. Dave and Kath have got George Muller for setting up orphanages in Bristol. What else have we got? It's Mark saying his parents. That's Mark McCutcheon saying it's his parents. Matt Finner said stories where people are generous, especially children being generous. What else? Hudson Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
Anna Weber has said Jesus is her hero. That's the right answer, Anna. Well done.
Yeah.
Another one for George Muller. William Burton. Lynn, you are an inspiration.
Oh.
From the Cummings family. Wendy Robinson says Anne Frank. Gladys Aylward. Billy Yippee. Graham. There we go. There's quite a few there.
Brilliant. Thank you all so much. A lot of heroes in everyday life, as well as superheroes in the films. And each one of those people, whether they know Jesus or not, have qualities about them who have inspired our lives or who continue to inspire things in us. And I think it's good to reflect on what it is about them or what they've done that just stirs and connects with something in our own spirits. I'll tell you what encouraged me a lot. My hero when I was in China was Joshua. Now, Joshua succeeded Moses. Now, just imagine you've seen the miracles, the trials, the troubles, the heartaches, the pain that Moses has gone through, all of those challenges. And now God says, right, he's gone and you're it. Well, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes at all. Some people are called to work out their faith in the full glare of the world around them. Somebody mentioned Joe Biden, I think, just now, which makes them ripe for criticism and analysis of every word and action, full of personal risk doing what God's called you to do. So what does God say to Joshua? He gives him his mission, right? He tells him, take the Israelites across the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. And then he tells him all the places he's got to take them to. But then he says, don't worry, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This promise gave me so much encouragement in the difficult times. He would never leave him or forsake him. But then he also commanded him three times, he must have known how Joshua was feeling, to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Follow my commands. Be strong and very courageous. And you think, oh my goodness, what is he going to face? But God knew what he needed. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, because I will be with you. And I wonder how many times Joshua had to go back to God's promises to him as he carried on working out that mission. So I'm going to ask Alan now, one of my heroes of faith, to tell you something about his story and how God increased his faith. Over to you, Alan.
So using the cup of tea analogy, I started with a cracked teapot. I had a little tea, milk and sugar. I had a very disrupted childhood, dyslexia, resulting in poor education and little self-confidence. So by the time I was a teenager, I was pretty lost. living in a children's home in Dawlish. I met Norman Alford through the youth club, and I was saved, and I began my journey of faith. At the age of 16, I was fostered by a couple, and through their support, I joined the army and began to gain skills and confidence and do a lot more. I gained qualifications and experience in catering, hospitality, teaching, and I even learned later Spanish and Chinese. I was willing to use the talents I've been given. I was willing to do anything. For example, in 2001, Lynn and I had two different dreams. My option was to go to Spain. I'd been offered a job at a college in beautiful Marbella, and the other option was to go live in China. So we went on our annual 3-week trip to China, and in Hong Kong, we split. I went on one team, and Lynn went on another for 2 weeks with no communication. We agreed when we came back to Hong Kong, we would have expected God would have given us the same vision. So we prayed, and we had people praying for us during this time. I got back to Hong Kong first, and China had hooked me. So when I met Lynn, as she struggled back up the hill to the hostel, I met her, and we were one. We would go to China and care for abandoned children in orphanages. My talents are not medical, but there was so much more to be done. To renovate, source supplies, develop admin systems in the home that we're making for the children. So I have plenty to do, and everything took so much time and effort. For example, in those days, nipping off to B&Q wasn't an option. Everything was foreign, and I was an alien. So faith came from doing everything from buying a live chicken to buying the right size screws that didn't melt like butter when you put them in the wall. So one day, the lino I had ordered was delivered. Two fellas struggled up the stairs to chuck it down on the floor. It was extremely heavy, and I needed to move it. And then I needed to clear the area. And I was working all female environment in the home. So I was there with the lino, looking at it, thinking, what am I going to do? And then the doorbell rang, and a Chinese angel sent from God came. He came to help, and he said he would help in any way he could. I explained what needed to be done. He worked all day, asking for nothing in return. And after, I never saw him again. You can imagine how this increased my faith in God, in God's provision for us.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah, I remember that well. It was very moving, and absolutely out of the blue, this guy arrived. This is a picture of the corridor that Alan was trying to create for the children. These children had limited ability to go outside and experience the world, and most of them could only lie looking upwards. So he created this underwater sea world in the corridor. So all of these bits hanging down, and then the floor, I haven't got a photo of the finished floor, I'm afraid, but the floor was blue, so that you created this lovely place for the children to go down, and God provided the help that Alan needed. So going back to the parable, what is it saying to us? I believe it's saying it's my responsibility to use what God has given me in the measure it's been given. So however little or however much, we're called to use it. And God expects us to use it. According to the abilities that he's worked into me this far in my life. This is the outworking of our Great Commission. This is my personal outworking, using what God has given me. So only you can do it in the way God has prepared you to outwork your calling, your commission. When I was reading Matthew and the story of the parables, I noticed that it was immediately followed by the parable of the sheep and the goats. So God tells us how and where he wants us to use our gifts. So he doesn't just give us those gifts. He tells us what his focus is. He shares his heart with us. Go to those in need, the hungry, the poor, the thirsty, the strangers and aliens, the naked, those who haven't got clothes, the prisoners, the sick, widows and orphans. So the focus of his heart. So you can see there maybe a picture of a prisoner and a welcoming for refugees. And like the homework club that's about to be started, God's heart is there with those in need. We're also called to account. How are you working out your commission to reach the world? Let's pause for a moment quietly, just for a minute, to reflect and allow God to drop his words into our hearts. And Julian will just play some music to help us as we reflect maybe on some of these questions. Okay, Julian, thank you. Questions there for us to be thinking about. I want to move on now, and thank you, Julian, for that. Just want to move on, and Iska Church is in a period of seeking God and his vision for us and our role in Exeter. We've had times of prayer and received many prophecies, many prophetic words. In this section, I want to highlight some of those prophecies and their challenge to us in the context of this talk. So Esther and Maria brought us the thought about eating the banana. And I'm just quoting some of their words and then thinking about my interpretation of that. And he said, "His fruit is holy and ripe." And it's a bit like peeling off the skin and letting who you are go out and be who God made you. So there's our banana, our ripe banana, ripe for eating. But do you feel that your skin, is it your skin constraining you? What is it that's not letting you come out? Maybe you don't feel ripe enough. Maybe you don't feel confident enough to come out of your skin. But I'd challenge you, are our excuses making us feel safe? Are they to make us feel safe, able to stay as we are, to justify not making any changes? What's holding you back from taking that first trial step? If you already think this is what God's calling you to, what's holding you back? Why haven't you peeled back that skin? Do you have the faith to try? God says he's given us enough faith. And then Matt Finn said there's something going on. The cutting his mother had given him looked like a dead twig, but actually something was happening and it started to bud and do something new. So what looked as if it was dead, as if nothing was happening, God was making preparations. And we're given eyes to see what's around us, spiritual eyes to discern what God's doing. If you don't feel you have that discernment, ask somebody to help discuss your vision, discuss what you think should be happening and isn't happening. What's going on? Laura brought us a word about microscopic spores that are unnoticed all around us, floating through the atmosphere, unnoticed, dormant and inactive, but all of them have the potential to be brought to life and activated. Are there gifts you've been given that may be lying dormant? Is your alarm clock ringing? Is it time to wake up? Is it time to think about, is this the moment now, God? What is it that's going on around me that would activate what it is that you've given me? And a very strong and clear word from Phil Cooper. Go out, be visible. The need is out there. We as a church need to be visibly out there, being his hands and feet, bringing comfort. And I would add hope to that. We need to touch people's hearts and minds, seize the outworking of God's kingdom. Our focus is directed by God's heart for the poor and needy. Which door are you going to open? Which door are you going to walk through? So I leave you with some questions. It's not my intent to overburden those of you who are already busy and making a huge difference, but I hope I've disturbed all of you enough to think about and be alert to new possibilities. I believe God is not just giving us words of prophecy, he is giving us opportunity, open doors in our own lives as well as in our corporate church life. We have a responsibility to use our talents, and we will have to account to God for how we use them. Remember the sheep and goats. God was angry with those who hadn't used their talents, who hadn't been out and done what he asked them to do. So I just leave you with those questions and hand back to Rich. Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn, so much. What an encouragement that's been, but also